Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Couple Speak Relationship Forum on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Susan Lager, a psychotherapist and relationship coach at the Couple Center and Couple Speak in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where I broadcast live each month on Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Tonight's half-hour episode, The Art of a Good Apology, deals with the skills and attitudes necessary for delivering a really effective apology, which helps provide for necessary repair in relationships around the experience of some hurt or violation. Stay tuned and learn about the four key elements to a good apology, what to say and what clearly not to say if you would like to create some healing in a relationship. Now, for anyone who's joining me on the air live, feel free to call in at any point. I'll take questions as they come or comments as they come. All you need to do is dial 1 on your phone, and you'll be in line to join me on the air. Okay? And by the way, there is no question or comment that is not good enough or that's foolish or stupid, so don't be shy. I always welcome a conversation. Anyway, this whole issue of apologies is so important. I have worked with many clients who carry shame and guilt around some slight they may have committed towards someone they care about. And the injury to the other person often gets really compounded by the withdrawal and avoidance which often accompany these bad feelings on the part of the slighter. I think it's human nature just to try to stay clear if it feels like, ooh, too much conflict and I did something I feel badly about. But the problem is that doing nothing doesn't help if there's any hope for reconciliation and healing. So I would encourage you all to gather up your courage, put on your grown-up pants, and face the problem with a heartfelt apology. Remember, a meaningful apology really works wonders toward healing and repair in a relationship. And good relationships, by the way, are not relationships where there's no conflict, where there's no experience of hurt or disappointment or a slight. I think it happens in every relationship with humans. But good relationships are ones that have a really good repair cycle around those experiences so that you can get past it and not have it become an intractable kind of obstacle that's there all the time, a kind of stain on the relationship. Now, one thing I'd like you to realize is that a good apology is not just saying, I'm sorry. That is, that really doesn't cut it at all. A good apology, a meaningful apology, has four key components. So next time you're in the apology seat, needing to apologize for something you feel badly about, remember four key components. One is an expression of remorse. What do you feel badly about? With very specific information about what you feel your offense was. Two, an explanation for your behavior, what was your thinking, what was going through your head that explains the behavior. And by the way, not the same as an excuse. Those are very different things, and I'll go into more detail about that in a little bit. The third thing is a statement of empathy toward the injured party. What is your understanding about the damage done? This is very, very key in an apology. It's a statement that acknowledges damage and hopefully provides some validation to the injured party. There's nothing quite as healing as hearing from somebody who slighted you or hurt you some kind of acknowledgement about they get what the impact on you was. The fourth thing essential to a good apology are your plans to make amends. What are you going to do in the way of reparation or corrective behavior so you're not always apologizing? Because words are really cheap. You know, a lot of people think that, well, I apologize, I said I was sorry, but it didn't have these four components. And the experience on the part of the receiver is that, all right, you said you're sorry, but so what? What is there that gives me any assurance that you're not going to just keep doing this? And that's where the fourth part of an apology is really critical. A statement about your plans to make amends. Now, it starts with a full acknowledgement of your offense. That's the first thing, a statement of remorse. And it's important when you're apologizing for something you feel badly about to start by describing exactly what you did wrong without avoiding the worst truths. Once the facts are out, acknowledge that your behavior, it violated some moral code or some kind of an agreement in the relationship. It doesn't matter whether you and the person you've hurt share the same ethics. If you've broken your own rules, you're in the wrong. So accept responsibility. And here's the thing. When you make a statement acknowledging your offense, never, ever, ever, ever say anything to the effect that, I'm sorry that, or I'm sorry you, I'm sorry you're upset, I'm sorry that this created such a controversy, I'm sorry that. No, it doesn't cut it. What does that say to the other person about what you feel remorseful about? It's really critical when you apologize to say, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that. So be really clear about the specific behavior that you feel remorseful about. Let the other person know that you feel badly about it, you feel guilty, you feel remorse, but be really clear about specifically what it was that you did that you feel remorse about. And I think if you keep in mind those words, I'm sorry, you're on your way to an effective apology. The second thing that is critical to an effective apology is an explanation. And this can get into some very slippery ground here, because a truthful explanation is your best shot at rebuilding a strong, respectful relationship. It helps you and your victim understand why you misbehaved, and it provides insight into the thinking that misguidedly drove your behavior. But it's not the same as an excuse. Excuses only deflect responsibility. So be very clear to your victim that the explanation is not a justification for your behavior. So, for instance, let's say that you showed up very late without a call, okay? You had a date with this person and you didn't call. So an explanation might be something to the effect that, this is what was going on with me. I got very caught up in some work. I had a lot of trouble with the transition, but I would like you to know this does not justify my being late without a call. I really should have called you. I was not thinking about it at the time. Or you might explain the thinking that you were using around some offense. I misguidedly was thinking this, that, and the other thing, and I failed to recognize that it was going to create some hurt for you. So be very clear. I think it's always a good policy when you explain your behavior to also make a statement saying, this does not in any way justify what I did. I don't intend this as a justification or as an excuse. It's really so that you can have a better understanding of what was going on in my head. And I think that will go a long way toward helping the other person understand what your thinking was, what drove the behavior. Okay, now number three, a statement of empathy toward your victim. This is really critical, and people just don't realize this. They think that if they say, well, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that, that suffices, and it really doesn't. So it's very important for you to acknowledge your understanding of the impact that you realize your behavior must have had. This validation is a really key component for needed repair around the offense. So it might sound something like, I'm very aware that when I didn't call you and I was so late that it probably created worry for you. I can imagine you might have felt blown off by me, that maybe I didn't value our time together. So try to, you know, the best thing that you, I think you can do is try to get in the shoes of the other person and imagine what, if they haven't said to you, boy, that was really crappy that you did that. I was very worried, or I was very hurt, or I was very offended. Try to imagine what it might have been for you had you been on the receiving end of this kind of behavior. So turn it around. That always helps. I mean, as a general rule in relationships, that's a good policy. Try to turn things around and imagine yourself on the receiving end of things. And make a statement that that really acknowledges your understanding of what got created as a result. And if the person says to you, actually, I wasn't worried. I was very offended. It really felt to me like maybe you just didn't value our time together. I know that you can take care of yourself, but you're late a lot, and it just feels to me like you don't work hard enough to value our dates. Then I think it's important that you reflect that back in your own words. So listen to what the person has said. If your empathic statement didn't really hit home with the other person. And then I think it's really important to try to rephrase it in your own language, your own words. So you're not parroting back their words, but you're kind of taking it in and rephrasing it in your own words. And what you will see is that it's really, I think of it almost as antiseptic for a wound. It has the effect, it's kind of like a healing balm put on a wound. And if you think about it, if you think about yourself in relationships, when you have somebody apologize and they seem to get what their behavior did to you, it has the effect, and I've had this experience, you know, on a number of occasions, where it kind of melts away resentment, it melts away your anger, and it melts away your indignation, because you don't feel like you're alone holding the experience of the offense. So that's really a critical thing, that you get that you understand that, and that you exercise that. Now, there is another key component to apologies that I will get to, but I would like to first take a very brief commercial break. And when I get back, I will talk to you about the fourth element of a good apology, and also the importance of timing, because timing is really critical, whether you realize it or not. And you know, some things we know in my field about the importance of an apology on not only your self-esteem, but on the impact on a relationship. Okay, so stay tuned. Don't go away. I'll be back very shortly to talk about those things. Now, I would like to tell you just very briefly about a very exciting thing that's coming up. I'm going to be doing a couples retreat on Star Island, New Hampshire. It's a little island off the coast of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And it's coming up this June, June 21st through June 24th. It's a kind of an intimate retreat designed for up to six couples. And I'm going to be doing it with my good friend and colleague, Meredith Richardson. She's a very talented mediator and conflict coach on the southern coast of Maine. In her previous professional life, she was a lawyer. She's still a lawyer. She still has her law degree, but she's does not do the traditional practice of lawyering because she found it to be too adversarial a process. So she coaches people, and she moves people through conflict very effectively. We've been very successful in a previous retreat we did last year on Star Island. It was really amazing, very transformative for the couples who participated. So we are gangbusters, ready to go for this second one. And the retreat is designed for committed couples who want to build more connection, improve communication, and manage conflict more effectively. So it is not, by the way, for couples who are in the process of some kind of, in the middle of a crisis. It's not designed for couples where there's abuse or something really horrific going on, but couples who are stable, who are committed, and who just want to learn more about how they can improve communication, really build more, enhance more connection, and couples who may be getting a little slogged down in conflict and would like to know a little bit more about how to move through conflict so it doesn't feel so scary or so nasty. So if you are interested, and hopefully you are, go to starisland.org to register, starisland.org to register. You'll find out a little bit more about Star Island, which is an absolutely magical place. It's beyond imagination. You'll learn more about them and what they sponsor, and you'll get more details about this particular retreat. So back to our regular programming. Now, if you are just joining me, I'm talking about the key elements to a good apology, which can promote real healing and repair around an experience of violation in any relationship. I already went into the first two elements of the expression of remorse, an explanation for your behavior and how that's different from an excuse, and the third element, actually, a statement of empathy towards your victim. Now, there's a fourth element, which is absolutely critical. Without this fourth element, I would say you are issuing what can get experienced as a cheap apology. Just words. Words can be cheap. The fourth element is a statement about your plans to make amends. It's critical so that your victim hears how you'll take full responsibility behaviorally and not just say words. This helps to minimize dread for your victim that your offense, dread around the offense happening again. It's kind of the experience of a cheap apology. And I can tell you from my years of experience working with couples, when someone apologizes and it's just words, and they haven't even, either they've thought about reparative action or amends, but they don't make a statement about it. They don't make a statement where they're committing to it. All the other good stuff they've done in the apology just kind of falls off the chart. So what I would like you to do is, before you apologize, this is really important, think about, okay, what do I feel badly about, and what am I going to do about it? What is my corrective action plan? So, for instance, if we go back to that example of you having been late with some frequency or having been late for a date and not calling, then I would encourage you to think before you deliver the apology, think about, well, what can I do so I don't keep repeating this offense? Maybe I have some organizational issues. Maybe I overextend. Maybe my problem is I have trouble with transitions. What can I do so that I don't continue to be late? Because this person I'm being late for is very offended, very hurt, very annoyed, very irritated. And it gets experienced as very disrespectful. So come up with a plan, and it might be something as simple as I will put a reminder in my phone. I'll set an alert. I'll set an alarm. Or one of the things that I do now, because I used to be kind of chronically late coming home, and I would do the same thing. I would say to my husband, oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm sorry I'm late. And he would look at me and say, you know, what difference does it make? You always say you're sorry, but you still are late. So it occurred to me one day to take a little bit of my own advice, and I decided I will stop about 10 minutes before I may think I have 10 more minutes, stop 10 minutes early and call him. So if it looks in that 10-minute interval like I may be running late, I call him ahead of time. But I, as a policy, I try to add 10 more minutes rather than underestimating the time it's gonna take me to do something. I add 10 more minutes, and I try to leave 10 minutes earlier. So I stop what I'm doing 10 minutes earlier, and that I'm not chronically late anymore. So that apology has had in my relationship with my husband, it's really packed some punch. Now, here's another thing, timing. Why is timing important? If you're like me and somebody does something that's hurtful to you, you need to kind of stew and brew and feel outraged and indignant and self-righteous. You need time to let off steam. And so if your partner issues an apology right away and they haven't given you time to do that, they're really kind of interrupting your process. So give the person, the victim, a little bit of time to register the offense. On the other hand, if you delay too long, an apology delivered long after the fact really is kind of beside the point. And I am now in the position of being on the receiving end of that, where somebody, a friend of mine, did something very hurtful and offensive. And it's now been more than 2 weeks, and my feeling is, you know what? She's exacerbated the offense. It's deepened it, and now she's really dug herself into a hole. So be really aware of the timing. Now, I have a question I would like to get to. A caller has asked a question. Hello, caller. You're at a 917 area code. Thank you for joining me. What's your question?
Yes, hello, Susan. Thank you. Very interesting program. This is really not a question. It's more of a statement, and I think you may have made mention before your break about that a good apology is a really good esteem, self-esteem builder, or maybe I read that somewhere. But
yes, it is.
I can attest to that, and not only that, but I also really believe, because I've gone through recently with someone who I've been friends with for many years, an apology. I don't know if it had all these key elements and all these components in it, but this is certainly a good basis to work with. But I also believe that a good apology really deepens a relationship in a way that nothing else really can. It really speaks volumes about what you think of the relationship and the person you're involved with, that you take the risk to say, I care enough about you and I'm sorry, et cetera, et cetera. Would you agree with
that? You're absolutely right. I'm so glad you brought this up, because it's a statement to the other person of your investment in the relationship, that you care enough to be a big enough person to own up. And you're right. A good apology is very, very healthy for your self-esteem, because if you are are you, if you're sitting in your own, stewing in your own juices about something you did and you haven't acknowledged it to the other person, you're sitting in a shame pool. And shame is not good for your self-esteem if you don't make corrective action. I mean, we all experience shame at times around something we've done, but when you own up and you acknowledge it to the other person, you're also making a statement to yourself, I can do better. I don't like how I behaved. I violated my own moral code. So it's really an investment. You're right. It's a great point you're making. It's an investment in your own self-esteem as well as the investment in the relationship.
Well, it sounds like
you're a case in point that it sounds like the apology in this relationship for you with the other person has been very healing.
Yes, it has. It's also very liberating.
Totally. Totally. Yes. Yes.
Great.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate your comment because it really speaks to why bother? Why bother? It's a very hard thing to apologize. It takes courage because you always run the risk that the other person could say, well, screw you. They could blow you off. They might not be gracious about it. They might not accept it. So what your point speaks to is that you were doing it as much for yourself as for the other person.
Right. Great. Thank you, Susan.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thanks for joining me. In any event, you know, that was a great comment, you know, by the listener that apologies are very healing for relationships and they're very healing for your self-esteem. And I know I came from a family that did not practice the art of a good apology. Well, you know, in my family, the MO was for people just to kind of wait it out and hope that everybody developed amnesia about it. And then over time, it kind of receded, sort of, maybe. But there wasn't, I remember that my experience was there was no acknowledgement, there was no validation. So there also wasn't the kind of healing that could have happened around that. And I remember when my husband and I had our son, I decided that I am not going to carry that part of my legacy forward. It's not the best of my family as I knew it. There were other strengths in the family, but that was not one of them. So I resolved that I would have more courage and model something very different for our son. And the very interesting thing was that with practice over time, it got easier and it became more natural. And I noticed that he started imitating that. So when I would say, you know what, honey, that wasn't really right of me, that was kind of thoughtless, or that was, I could see, you know, I would, you know, do all the four parts, acknowledging that I could see how that was hurtful or offensive to him, that I was going to try to do better, that he would imitate it. And from as early as he could talk, that he began apologizing. He would say, you know, it wasn't only you, Mommy, it was me too. And so I've been very pleased to see that it really instilled in him the practice and the value of a good apology. So practice it. It gets easier with time. You become better at it, and it will be really good for your heart. Anyway, it's time to wrap up. I hope you enjoyed this episode and feel better equipped to apologize properly in a way that promotes forgiveness and repair. My next episode will be Wednesday, April 22nd at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 p.m., always p.m., and it's going to be about another relationship issue and always about skills, how you can do better in all your key relationships. So I hope you can join me, and I hope in the meantime you have a good, hopefully, spring. Take care. Bye-bye.